Good morning.
Good morning, Elias.
And how are you proceeding?
Most excellently.
Quite.
Tremendous. Do tell.
Okay. Well, had most enjoyable talk with Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, what a great connection. And it's funny, at the very end there, the final piece, she said something that triggered my last remaining, when I woke up this morning, the idea I was reciting the Hail Mary prayer as I woke up, aware I was reciting it and wondering, where the heck did that come from? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I would express another connection.
With Mary? Me and Mary?
Yes.
Well, that was one of my things. You know, again, I've said, you know, you've shared that we're counterparting. We counterpart both ways, Elias?
Yes.
And in the actual, again, her small amount of focuses, how many focuses of those do I share with her?
Thirty-one
of her around 57. Okay. Yes, I enjoy my relationship with Michael. Anyway, we were going to start out, and thank you for that, Elias. We're going to start out. We had an interesting example of what I think is elasticity and elasticity with different focuses, thinning of veils, for lack of a better word, thinning of the separation between our objective and subjective, and our thinning of barriers, if you will, between F2. One example we showed ourselves last night when we were watching our episode on our television, and where I said we just saw this episode and Phil had no recollection of it. So I think that was just presenting to us another idea that I don't know if it's a probable reality or just happening. I like that our egos didn't have to fix it and say who was right and who was wrong, where I felt that we already watched this and Phil had no recollection of it. Could you speak to that?
That is an example of two different realities. I have expressed this many, many times in that you each are creating your own reality. There is no official reality that you are all participating in. You each create your individual reality, and you do it in cooperation with each other, and for the most part, you do it sharing with each other, and sharing experiences, and therefore your realities bear considerable similarities to each other, although they are not identical, they are very, very similar, but at times you deviate from that, and at times you create significant differences. Now, generally, what occurs is either individuals move in the direction that you expressed you didn't do, of attempting to convince each other that one is right and the other is wrong, or when presented with this deviation of realities, any situations, individuals merely dismiss it.
Yes.
And
they don't accept it as being different realities. They, in their own perception, express that they themselves are correct or that they are right and that the other individual is wrong, but they generally will dismiss it.
Now, my point was I was thrilled that it happened. We did recognize that. We, you know, exactly what you're saying. I know I just days ago I had also brought that session that you had with that gentleman speaking to the same thing about going to Hawaii, whether with his wife, you know what I'm recalling, and the same idea here. So now that we're not dismissing it and now we're not moving in the direction of who's right and who's wrong, I was very excited because I really feel this has to do with our next step. And you know, that's what I'm saying. We're not doing one of those other two things, dismissing. What does that mean for us? It reminds me of Lawrence. I spoke to him last month through Nuno, who, when I was talking about our incremental steps, and he goes, "Oh no, your next step is not incremental." And that was very exciting to me because I feel we're on the precipice again of something. A new area of creating our reality because we're letting go of these ideas of rigidity and having one shared official reality.
And I thought it was a great presentment to ourselves of an opportunity to have the experience of us having two different realities, because that's the moment she said, "Oh, we just watched this," and I said, "I got nothing." And my, of course, the first thing the brain tries to do is to try to fix it, to try to fit it in, or make one right, one wrong, or to go, "Well, there must be an answer to this." And then from there, I immediately went, "Oh, wait, this is one of those funny things, and so I'm not going to try and fix it in my brain. I'm just going to accept that we had a different reality, a different experience, and have fun with it."
Excellent. And I would agree with you. Now, in that, in relation to your question or your idea of your next step, what does that mean to you?
Oh, it means we're casting off the constructs of the limitations of our reality, and I'm excited. I know that's the feeling. I'm excited because I don't know what, but I know we're going to... I'll call it more abilities, Elias, for lack of a better word. More freedom, more movement, more the fun, what we're moving into through this shift.
And to me, it represented an idea that we had two different objective experiences, two different memories, and yet here we are. We're apparently in the same reality. We're apparently in the same timeline, and yet we can be accepting of the idea that we each had a very different experience and a very different memory.
Correct. Now, what I would express to you is... you are already doing it.
Yay!
Not something that you are about to do.
Oh.
Is that you are already doing it. And in that, the next step, so to speak, is merely being aware of what you are already doing and maintaining that.
Very good.
This, I would express to you, is an important point. For this is the direction that most individuals move in when they recognize that they are expanding, that they are perceiving differently. They automatically think in that same direction of they are on the precipice. They are about to move into some new direction. They are about to do something. And in actuality, You already are doing it. Or you wouldn't have noticed.
Understood. As soon as I said that, I heard you. Heard me. This is fun. This is fun and exciting, Elias.
I would express congratulations.
Woo! Fun. Thank you. And also, my dreams, the same thing. It's not like something's coming. I can feel dreams are different now. I don't, you know, again, when you said memory, Phil, was funny. Rather than recalling a dream and then having it be a memory that I'm recalling, I am playing with the idea I could, it's just that sideways step and going from here to there, another area to this focus area. And it's becoming very slippery.
But it is a matter of acknowledging that you are doing that now. And it is not about what you are about to do, but maintaining and developing what you are already doing.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes, developing. And to me, and unless you offer more here, developing, there's no requirements of that. Outside of the idea of primarily being present.
Correct. And maintaining what you are already doing, such as with your dreams and being more aware in relation to them and manipulating them and engaging them in that, you're already doing it. Hmm. It is merely a matter of being aware and continuing to do it, therefore maintaining, and then expanding that, and therefore developing.
Yeah, I had a conversation with that nice gentleman at the casino, and he was going to buy a new motorcycle, a road bike. Then that night, I have a dream that I'm presented with a shiny road bike, and then I see the gentleman again just the next day, and I could see it's all happening simultaneously.
Yeah.
About that motorcycle. Now, what I would like your assistance in, I don't feel I'm remembering, in a manner of speaking, in my dreams that I can manipulate from that place. It's still would that be something if I could incorporate my dream trigger, for example, to remind myself in that state that I can actually manipulate in that area?
Good, but I would also express that it is a matter of doing precisely what we have been discussing. You are aware, and in that, it is merely a matter of continuing to engage, and the more you do it, the more you develop it, and therefore, the more you expand it, and the more you can use it in different capacities. Therefore, if you want to translate dream activity into waking time, it is merely a matter of continuing to do what you are doing. And in that, this is the key, is when you are engaging waking time, noticing what you are translating into your waking time from your dream state. You already are doing it. You merely aren't noticing it. You are thinking in black and white. You are thinking absolute in relation to the imagery. Therefore, I dream this, therefore I should see this same image in my waking state. Not necessarily, but the subject is already being expressed in your waking state. You already are doing it, and you already are translating it from your dream into your waking state. You merely aren't noticing because the imagery may be different or it may be altered in some manner. But that does not mean that you are not doing it.
Yes, and I also want to not even separate it out to when I go to sleep and then when I'm waking. I am right now awake, very focused as Debbie, but yet I know this Debbie, this F1 portion, is immersed in F2, so I don't have to go to wait till tonight. Right now I can just look sideways and I want to interact with, and I am interacting with F2. And I want to do it more in real time, not separated out between sleep time and waking time.
Correct. And in that, once again, it is the same. It is merely what you are looking at that creates that separation. That does not necessarily mean that there is a significant separation. It is how you are paying attention that creates the separation.
Can you give me... Yes, go, please.
Remember, there are two factors to attention. What you are paying attention to and how you are paying attention. Therefore, in this, the what is the subject. The how is the association with the subject. The what is, I want to translate essence expression into my waking experience. The how is the association. The association is that the essence expression is a separate thing from the focus expression. That it is something that you need to bring into your waking experience, that it isn't already there.
And that isn't correct.
That is incorrect. But that is how you are paying attention. Mm. How you are paying attention is through the perception that these are two different expressions. Two different things, and they are not. But when that is how you are paying attention, they become two different things or two separate expressions, because how you are paying attention is creating that separation.
Thank you. I am challenged with this how.
Well, I know this one. When we review this, we're going to get a lot
remember
more.
Remember that the how is the association. Therefore, let me offer a different example that may seem somewhat simpler or obvious. Let's say that you have an opinion about drugs. That they're bad, that they're dangerous, that they ruin individuals' lives, that they are addictive, that in itself, the association that they're addicted, is an excellent example. Now, in that, regardless of how much you may give yourself to the contrary, and you may express, oh, but I don't believe that because I know that every individual creates their own reality, and that the drugs themselves have no innate properties, but it is a matter of what the individual believes about them that creates the affectingness. But in that, let us say that you have experiences with some individual in your life that has battled with some type of addiction to a drug. Now, you have that experience, and you have the concept of something else. But in that, you may encounter an individual that is inquiring of you your opinion about drugs, and perhaps this individual wants to experiment with them and is asking you for information about certain drugs and what you think about certain drugs. Now, in that, first of all, automatically, your attention will likely be on the other individual and their request and what they are asking you, and therefore it is likely that you won't necessarily automatically be evaluating the difference between your own opinion and information that you have given yourself in relation to the subject of drugs. Therefore, likely you will respond to the individual in relation to what your experience is. The subject is the drug. How you are paying attention to that subject is based in the association that you have with it. That you have experience with another individual that has battled with what you term to be addiction. Therefore, that has colored your opinion about the subject, and how you are paying attention to the subject is based in those experiences, the associations that you have with that. Therefore, the association that you have with that is not good, not safe. Therefore, how you pay attention to the subject is not good, not safe. Therefore, that influences and colors how you age with that subject, because how you are paying attention to it is not good, not safe. Whereas, if you are presented with another subject that you pay attention to in Safe and Fun, then you are expressing the how you pay attention to that as good. How you pay attention to one subject is bad based in your experience and your association with it. How you pay attention to a different subject is good based in your experience and your association with it. If you have no experience and no association with a subject, then how you pay attention to it is merely in curiosity. Therefore, the how of what you are paying attention to is related to what your experiences are and what your associations are with that particular subject. Now, in this, you exist in a reality that generates one of its base elements as being separation. Everything in your reality is presented in the form of separation, including yourself. You have a body, your partner has a body, they are not the same body, they are two separate entities. Therefore, you automatically, based in your experience and your association, pay attention to subjects in the how through that separation automatically. Therefore, when you are presented with anything that appears to incorporate more than one component, such as yourself as essence, you automatically think of that or evaluate that as two components. The focus and the essence. Therefore, anything that incorporates more than one component, you automatically pay attention to in the how, putting that element of separation. Two things can't be the same. Two things can't be one. They are two. Therefore, you can combine them, but they begin as two, not one. Very much similar to your objective and subjective awareness. You think of those as two things. Therefore, how you pay attention to them is by separating them automatically and assigning different qualities to them or different properties to them in the same manner that you do between focus and essence. And it matters not how many times I express that you are essence automatically generates that separation because that is how you pay attention. By including that separation of two things are not one thing, they are two things. Therefore, if something incorporates two names, focus and essence, or your physical name and your essence name. Mm. If something incorporates two names, then it must be two things. But it is not two things. And in that, this is the how that you pay attention. And that is the piece that is important to be aware of, because that is the piece that changes what you are paying attention to, because the how influences the what. Just as with the example of the drug. The drug itself is neither good or bad. The drug itself does not have one absolute effectiveness for every individual. The drug itself does not incorporate properties that are in a manner of speaking damaging or promoting to you. The drug itself may have properties that may incorporate some initial effect with you, but you create whatever the ongoing effects are. Now, in that, I could express that to you for years and years and years, and it will matter not. Because, regardless of the factor that you have that information, how you pay attention to certain drugs, if I express to you, if you were to present to yourself an individual that was considering incorporating heroin, regardless of what information I may offer to you, how you pay attention to that drug is based in experience and association. Even if you have no experience with the drug itself, or anyone that has engaged the drug, you have plenty of information and examples that have been presented to you of individuals that have engaged that particular drug and have incorporated what you would deem to be bad or destructive experiences. Therefore, you do have an association, and you do have experience, even if it is indirect, for you have given yourself that information repeatedly. In that, how you pay attention to that drug is rooted in your association with it. Therefore, if another individual presents themselves to you and is expressing, I'm fascinated with this drug of heroin and I want to engage it, and what do you think about heroin? Will you acquire it for me? Will you help me to do it? If the other individual is only asking your opinion, you might hesitate momentarily. And you might think about other information that you have, although you might not. But if they want to involve you, then how you pay attention will definitely be a factor. Not necessarily want to comply with that. Why? Because that would be uncomfortable for you, because you have a negative association with that drug, and how you pay attention to that drug is based in that association that it is bad. Therefore, it is bad because that is what you create. In the same manner as separating your objective, focused, waking experience from what you might experience as essence. Because your association is based in your experience as a physically focused individual, and you don't know what essence is, other than something other than you. But it is you. But how you pay attention is in what you are accustomed to. Therefore, you are surprised or you are excited if you incorporate some type of unusual experience that is different from what you are accustomed to. And that must be a breakthrough of essence. That other thing that isn't you, that has somehow leaked into your objective waking reality, and you interpret some amazing experience momentarily, you actually are generating amazing experiences very frequently. You merely aren't paying attention to them. I would express to you, you could be interpreting an amazing experience visiting your toilet. But you don't, because of how you are paying attention to it. That is the point in relation to the how. It is not that you are not already doing, it is that you are merely not noticing because of how you are paying attention. And this is the reason that I have expressed that once you recognize the importance of what you are paying attention to, then you can begin to realize that the how you are paying attention is almost more important than the what.
Thank you. What I'm going to hear is that what's behind that would, for me, it would be moving in the direction to be noticing that separation in the first place. I mean, yes, the how is one thing, but even backing it up further and wider, going, moving in a direction of, I don't know if we can say eliminate, because it's the nature of our reality is the separation, but be recognizing where we are separating between objective, subjective, focus, and essence. And I would think, I'm getting pulled to think, that's where my, I would like to work with myself on, because when I can not have that be such a black and white, you know, break. You would agree?
Yes, that you can. And in that, what I would also say to you is that you are correct. It is not a matter of eliminating the separation. It is a matter of including more. Not that you eliminate separation. When you look at your toilet, it is a separate object. And it continues to be a toilet. But you can experience yourself and that object, including the separation to a degree, and also not including it.
Yeah.
You both simultaneously. You have that ability because you are essence. This is the reason also that I repeatedly return to and emphasize the importance of your everyday mundane expressions and actions, because they are important. The reason that they are important is because they are a part of your everyday existence and experience. And that in that lies that tremendous opportunity to be experiencing the separation and lack of separation simultaneously, rather than looking for an event.
Oh, this is exciting.
I would agree. But I would express that everything about you and everything you do is exciting.
Yeah.
That's who we be.
New and worth exploring. Everything you think you already know, and that seems so familiar to you, has so much more depth than you realize right at your fingertips.
I would say this is why, since it feels to me after listening to you that we are already incorporating this idea to a great degree, and it's why when we get to the end of our day of seemingly mundane activities, we're absolutely exhausted because we feel like we've engaged so much with so little.
And eventually, you may be engaging so much with so little and not be exhausted and be invigorated.
I'm understanding. Well, that brings me to this next part. We had a lot of imagery with dogs.
And thank you for that, Elias. We're going to have a lot of fun with this.
Well, and also because about not being tired was what made me think of this. We have a lot of imagery with dogs, with my dog Jojo, and with Michael's Polly, and with Tracy's Lucy. And Lucy, and that's what reminded me of that, she had been having a lot of strokes and a lot of sparks in her brain. And it made me think, and Tracy was asking as well, we feel there's something about that we're all in human form here, engaging or allowing ourselves a presentment of creating new neurological pathways, perhaps, if I'm speaking to that correctly, to enable us to incorporate more of this separation and lack of separation experiences, holding them simultaneously. Would you speak to that idea, that's what Lucy was reflecting to this with her strokes and our idea of that we're exhausted when we don't necessarily need to be exhausted through our body consciousness and such?
I understand what you are expressing, and I would acknowledge that that is very creative of you to...
Thank you.
...be interpreting in that manner, and congratulations. I would express that that is not necessarily what the dog is expressing, but I would express that that is a very direction for you to move in. In this, what I would say to you is, in relation to those pieces of the exhaustion and even the separation and lack of separation simultaneously, what the dogs are presenting to you, yes, is that, is also an example of being present and the difference that that generates when you are present, that even generating physical manifestations that you associate as being horrific can be experienced very differently if you are being present, for it is an action that is engaged and not holding to it and not, in a manner of speaking, maintaining it. But in that also expressing an example of how much resilience is expressed. And how you can move in that separation, lack of separation simultaneously and not be necessarily exhausted and continue on and function and not be expressing in that tremendous fatigue, I would say to you that your animals are an excellent example of that, in that they can generate some significant physical manifestations and surprise and baffle you as humans that they can continue to function. And not only function, but express themselves in a manner that you interpret as being happy.
Yes, Tracy did actually even say she felt you communicating with her going in and around, you know, any kind of distress she had toward Lucy was really just her distress. And once she recognized that and acknowledged that, that she saw Lucy as being just quite fine.
Now, what I will express to you once again, as I did in our group interaction, important for you as individuals, as people, to acknowledge what you feel. That is a significant piece. It is not a matter of dismissing that or ignoring that, for you incorporate compassion and love for them, these creatures, and in that you automatically and naturally in many situations, not all, but want to be happy and healthy and don't want them to be uncomfortable, and that it is distressing to you if they are, and that is significant for you to acknowledge that, for those are valid and real feelings. But it is also significant to not hold to those feelings and not move in a direction of allowing those feelings to dictate your behavior.
And that's analogous to what I'm experiencing with Steve right now, having quite a unusual or uncommon expression that he is showing me in this time in our divorce proceedings, and him having such an emotional reaction, feeling compassionate toward him as well, yet not feeling I have to rush in, fix anything, or that I did something to, you know, to him in this, and just witnessing it.
Correct. And you can express that compassion, but not move in a direction in which the feeling dictates your behavior.
Yes, it feels it already. It just was. It was completing a circuit. It was like we spoke together when I was up in Vermont and back in November with you, and saying, you know, you discharge around it, and then it's complete.
Correct.
Would you, I'm feeling from what brought up again about the Swiss cheese expression yesterday, and I felt that was I would say that my former spouse is an example of a Swiss cheese person.
I would agree.
Yes. Thank you. I don't think there's anything more to say around that. That was additional information. You know, I mean, I was thinking of things like, you know, the affectingness on me, you know, and how that is. But it's mostly for my evaluation and to look at now, again, back to the how that you were speaking of earlier. It discharges a lot of my associations from my past, quote unquote, learned experiences, and now it's more, it's really moving into an idea of curiosity.
Yep. And I would acknowledge you in that. Congratulations.
Thank you, Elias. This has been the most, where I am and who I am right now is the most exciting, accepting, wonderful place that I've ever been in, and I appreciate you answering the call, so to speak, and, my, and to my partner as well. Thank you. Ah, wow. So full. I'm looking over my notes. Just one more thing on that thing with Lucy. You know, I had a dream a couple months ago when I went to visit Tracy on her back patio, and I saw her 11 dogs, and Lucy was the only one that seemed to be alive. The other ones looked, my interpretation, that they were all dead. That Lucy was somehow separated out from the pack, even those couple months ago, and my impression was that because she couldn't really see or hear, and the other dogs could, they had somehow engaged birds with a avian-type virus, and they had disengaged. Now, it's funny when I, you know, Tracy goes, oh, did you see anything, you know, when you came to visit me last night, and I was hesitant to tell her before I spoke to you, which is interesting, the idea of having to protect her from an idea of causing her distress. I do acknowledge that now. I did end up telling her, but it is interesting that this Lucy creature, you know, continues to you show that. What was there anything more that I haven't gotten around that initial dream and my my interaction with Tracy and what Lucy is presenting to us?
I would express that in relation to the dream imagery and the dog, that what you are presenting in addition to all of that is that it is not necessarily bad to not be a part of the group. That you can interact with the group and not necessarily be a part of it.
And that's why I think also why it seemed important to bring up something that was from 2 months ago, because that's what you're also were speaking to Linda about yesterday.
Yes, and you can be a part of the group, and that is acceptable also, but that you don't have to be a part of the group, and you can interact with the group and function with the group and also hold your integrity and not be a part of the group.
Thank you, Elias. Phil has one more thing before we wrap up for today.
Yes. Elias, I'd like you to check me on this. I'm engaging the court systems or they are trying to engage me. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. And I feel quite satisfied with my state of being around my choices that I've made regarding this. And I just want to, what concerns me is that these outside forces can affect me, or that I'm somehow drawing an adverse effect to myself through my choices. But yet I'm quite satisfied, as I said, that I am making these choices for my own purposes and quite free of, gosh, I don't even know how to put it, but that I'm making these choices not in an idea of being punitive, not in an idea of trying to hurt somebody else, but in an idea of standing up for myself and saying no to outside authority and control. Can you just check me on that? And is there anything that I'm not considering within this?
I would agree with your motivation. I would acknowledge that. And I would merely express to you to be aware of and pay attention to however you interact, that you are not interacting in a challenging capacity, and you're not interacting in a dismissive capacity, but that you are within yourself and even objectively in expression, always including the factor of acknowledging the other expression. You don't have to agree to acknowledge.
Thank you, Elias.
Welcome. I shall be greatly anticipating our next meeting. That was tremendous encouragement and congratulations to both of you.
Thank you, Elias. Much love to you from us.
Indeed.
Wondrous friendship to each of you. Au revoir.
Au revoir.